Amen. We are going to go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you now for another opportunity to declare your word. We ask that what you've given us, we would give to others who are listening. And we ask that your name will be glorified in all that we do. In Jesus' name, have mercy upon us. Amen. So we're looking at 1 Peter chapter 5, and we are looking at verse number 7. Verse number 7, 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Amen. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And today we want to talk about a caring God. A caring God. Amen. Someone has said that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And in times like these, we need an anchor. In times like these, we need a savior. In times like these, we need a caring God. And the aim of our sermon is for us to see that we are in the best of care, that we are in the best of care. When I think about care, I know that Webster defines care. It tells us that care means that we are to provide. We are to provide that which is necessary for health, for our welfare, for maintenance, and for our protection, to care for someone or for something. And it is that by which provision is made for things that are necessary in our lives. And so as we think about that, it's important for us to think about the importance of care. Everyone needs to be cared for. And the Bible teaches us that out of all that's going on, that we have a God who cares for us, even though we cannot understand or even accept some of the things that are going on. We struggle with them, but the truth is that God is a caring God. He's a caring God. And in life, we need someone to care for us. And we love those who do care for us. We think about a mother's care. We know that it is a unique care that is unlike any other, to have a mother who cares for you. Mothers have a way of caring like no one else can care. And we know that mothers provide genuine care for us. They genuinely care for us. And we love them because we know that they don't have a phony love. They don't have a fickle love. They have a genuine love for us. It comes from mothers. Mothers do that in a very unique and a very special way. And that's why we love them, because they care. How about foster care? Foster care. It is in a world that is cold and cruel and careless. We know that there are those who are foster parents, and they have foster kids, and the kids are thankful that they have someone to care for them. Amen. You may remember Obamacare. Obamacare was an effort by this first African-American president to show his care for the world, to express it, that even after he left office, that the people would know that he still cared for them. And despite the stigma attached to his initiative, this smooth young man steps to the microphone and he takes that which is negative and stigmatized, and he takes it and turns it into a positive as he steps to the microphone and he says, I have no problem with people saying Obamacare. And the reason why he didn't care about doing that, he had no problem with doing that, is because the uniqueness of care and the value of care, and if anybody want to say something about Obama and to say that he cares, then that's something that to me is a plus. Amen. But we're not talking about foster mama and Obama. We are talking this morning about another care. We are talking about a care that is unique and needed in these times, because all this other care can only go so far, but we're talking about a God who cares. A God who cares. And here we find in 1 Peter chapter 5, we find this rough, rugged fisherman, Peter, this leader of the group, according to most historians, writing to elders and Christians who were dispersed and scattered abroad. And he writes to them and he shares with them these important words. The elders which are among you, in verse 1, exhort you. He is saying that we are encouraging you as elders. Now, this word elder is a word that is used interchangeably. It also means bishop, or it means pastor. It means shepherd. It can be a mature elder. In one instance, as we'll see in verse 5, is speaking of an elderly. It can be some elderly persons. But here he's writing, and he tells them that he says that I exhort you, and he says that you feed the flock of God, amen, that you feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight. And he's telling them to, and that word feed there really means to care for. So he's saying that I want you to feed the flock of God. I want you to shepherd the flock of God. I want you to care for the flock of God. He says, it's God's flock, and I want you to show some pastoral care. Amen. Another care we need to slip in, pastoral care. He says that it does not matter if you say that you are a pastor. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And the word feed means care. It means to tend to, and it means that he's telling them to take care of the flock of God and do it willingly, not by force, but do it of a willing and a faithful heart. He says, don't be lords over them. In verse number 3, don't be a tyrant. Don't drive the sheep, but lead the sheep. And that's what sheep are, to be led, and feed the sheep, because the sheep are beneficial. Amen. The sheep are used to give wool. The sheep are used to give milk. The sheep are used, even if there would be a future sacrifice, but we want to feed the sheep. And if there are going to be other sheep, these sheep have to remain healthy. And so if they're going to reproduce, you must take care of the sheep, feed the flock of God, which he is talking about here, not for money, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Amen. Don't feed the flock of God. Don't be motivated by money to feed the flock. Don't take care of the flock because of funds, but feed the flock of God simply because of the fact that you want to please Almighty God. Because he says that you should not be one who lords over God's heritage, but be an example to the flock. And he lets them know that when it's all over, that God, when the chief shepherd appears in verse 4, then he's going to give you a crown of glory that fadeth not away. You're going to render temporary care, but you're going to get paid eternal benefits. He's going to give you a crown of glory. You're going to be crowned with glory, with pay that does not ever pass away. He's saying you're going to get paid for taking care of God's sheep. And he goes on to talk to them about the fact that they have to be humble in verse 5 and in verse 6, that they have to embrace. He says to the younger, he says, submit yourselves unto the elder. Amen. He says, I want you to submit yourselves, follow their leadership, follow the leadership of the elderly men. And he's saying, in order to really do what God wants you to do, you're going to have an humble spirit. You're going to have to be one who is humble. He says that not only that, you must submit to one another. In verse 5, that means that you cannot be selfish as you serve the Lord. I mean, you can't want your way. You can't demand your way. He had just given an example about how the pastor is to lead the sheep and not to drive or force the sheep. And no one can be selfish because ultimately we're all serving the Lord. And that's why he says that this is, in verse 3, God's heritage. These are God's people. This is God's flock. And you are to lead by example. They follow you by the example that you set. And the young men are to do the same thing. They are to, those who are younger are to submit to the elders. And they are to be, the Bible says, clothed with humility, because that's how you get promoted. You get demoted if you are not humble, because the Bible says that he brings people down who exalt themselves. But if you humble yourself, he'll exalt you. And so we see that if you demote yourself, then God will exalt you. Amen. He shares with them how important it is for them to be humble. He says, and notice what he says in verse 6, which is significant. He says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he shall exalt you in due season. You are to humble yourselves. It's a decision. It's a choice. You are responsible for being an humble person. You are responsible for being a submissive person. You are responsible for humbling yourself. And he says, you're not humbling yourself under the elder, or you're not the elderly man. You're not really humbling yourself under the leader. You're really humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God. So, because it's God's heritage, and God has everyone doing what he has assigned them to do. And he says, and when you do that, you will be exalted in time. God is the one who gives the promotion if we only accept the demotion. We must understand that God will promote us. And so we come to our primary text where he says, casting your cares upon him, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Amen. This is important as we think about that, because God here tells us and teaches us that we ought to be caregivers. Caregivers. And not in the sense that we're used to saying it, but caregiver in the sense that we are to give our cares away. He says, cast your cares upon the Lord. Cast your cares upon him. And he says, if you cast your cares upon him, why? Because he careth for you. He is a God who is a caring God. And he says, I don't want you to take your cares. I want you to give me your cares. Amen. Do you have any cares? The Bible says that you are to, he says, cast your cares upon him. Because in life, there will be trouble. And when he says, cast your cares upon him, he says, anything that worries you, I don't want you to worry. I don't care what it is. He says, I'll cast your cares. He said, I don't want you bothered. I don't want you nervous. I don't want your life to be filled with anxiety. He says, I want you to just cast all that on me. Give me all of your cares. He says, I want you to cast your cares on me. And he says, not some of them, but all of them. Amen. It didn't matter what kind of care it is, whether it's a spiritual care or physical care or financial care or a social care. It doesn't matter what kind of a care it is, but you are to cast it on me. And that word cast means to throw it on me. God says, do you have any cares in your life? He said, take your cares, take them, all your cares in your arms, and just cast them on me. Just throw them. That's what the Greek word means. It means to throw. It means to throw it on somebody else. And God says, I want you, I'm telling you, I'm not suggesting that you do it. I'm not recommending it. But I'm telling you to do it. Amen. Why would God do that? Well, God would do that because when you are humble like he asks, when we are humble like he wants us to be humble, when we demote ourselves like he wants us to demote ourselves, then he assumes ownership for us. Amen. God, I'm serving you. You told me to humble myself. You told me to submit myself to the leaders you placed in my life. You told me to submit myself, the younger, to submit to the elder. And God says, when you do that, then you put yourself and you position yourself for me to be responsible for all of your cares. Because when you are obedient and when you do what I want you to do, then I'm going to take care of the cares. You're no longer responsible for life anymore. You're no longer responsible for how things turn out anymore. You're no longer responsible for worrying anymore. No more nail biting in your life. Amen. Because once you submit yourself under the mighty hand of God, once you recognize that it's really God's hand who has control over everything, and once you are walking in obedience to me, once you are living like I said live, once you have humbled yourself and not been selfish and demanded your way, and I'm not suggesting it, I'm not recommending it, just do it. I'm like Nike. I want you to just do it. Amen. How do you just do it? Well, you do it based on what the Word of God says. I've got something that I'm standing on that's firm and something that is solid because he said do it. And he said, if you do what I told you to do, but you got to be humble enough to do it. If you do what I said do, then I then takes responsibility for all of your worries and all of your problems. You just cast them on me. Cast them on me. And so you are to be a caregiver, because in life, he said in life, you're going to have trials. John 16 and 33, he says, in life, you shall have trials and tribulations. You're not that you might have them. It's not that he thinks you're going to have them. He said, you shall have them. Amen. In life, you will not get out of life without having any. Jesus said it in John 16, 33. In life, you shall have trials and tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So you're to be a caregiver. He's to be a caretaker. Amen. Now, you have to watch these terms because caregiver and caretaker are really the same. They're really synonyms. A caregiver is someone who professionally takes care of people, but a caretaker is someone who not only takes care of people, but they take care of your property. But they're really used interchangeably, and they're one and the same. But here we want you to understand that God wants you. I'm using it different where God says, I want you to be a caregiver. That means all of your cares, I want you to toss them on me. And then I'm going to take your cares. You're going to be the caregiver. I am going to be the caretaker. Hand them to me. Give me your cares. Because that's what he said. You say, how do you know he wants us to do that? He said it right there in the verse. He says, cast your cares upon me. And he says that I'm the one told you that in black ink on white paper. It's in writing. I ask all of those who are following me to cast all of their care, not some, on me. And why? Because he cares for you. He's a caretaker. He takes all of our cares. Why does he do it? Because he cares for us. How do we know he does it? He does it because he declared it. The declaration is he put it in ink. He put it in writing. Cast your cares upon me. And whatever else you think about God, if he doesn't care about you, it doesn't matter. You can tell me about him being omnipotent. Even when you're dealing with all these different things, all these different problems, you can tell me about him being omnipresent. You can tell me about him being omniscient. He's got all power. He knows everything. He's everywhere. But that does nothing for me if he doesn't care about me. You can tell me about how he can make a way out of no way. You can tell me about how he can do the impossible. You can tell me about how he can do miracles. And you can go off about and brag braggadociously on God, about God, and talk about how good he is and how much he'll make a way and be there for you in the midnight hour. But if God doesn't care about me, then it makes me no difference. I can't benefit from someone if I can't get the benefits of them. He can do all those things, but that doesn't mean he's going to do it for me. He's powerful, yes. He's almighty, yes. He's omniscient, and all of these attributes are attributed to God. But unless God is going to help me in my time of need, does God care? If he doesn't care about me, I don't care what he can do. If he does not care about me, amen, then the bottom line is it doesn't really matter what God can do because he don't care. Amen. You ever had people around you that didn't care? People will easily dismiss themselves from you, from your life by telling you that they don't care. Isn't it sad if you don't care about somebody? If you get sick, if you have a problem, financial problems, struggles, troubles, all these things, and you don't have nobody to care about you, isn't that terrible? And some people will tell you, I don't care. Amen. Who cares? Who cares about you having? Who cares? People will dismiss you in a moment. We live in a world that where people don't care. But you got to understand that you have a caring, you and I have a caring God. Isn't that good? Because he can't really benefit anything. He don't need us. He doesn't need us. We need him. But in the midst of a world where people don't care, and they let you know clearly, I don't care about you. Cold, cruel world. And people don't care if you get sick. People don't care about corona. People don't care. Amen. When you live in a world where there is no care, but God is good to know that God in his almighty power, he has the power to speak the word and miracles will occur. Now that God is the one I serve. That God is the one that cares. That God is the one who has given me his word that if I am humble, if I am obedient, if I am willing to do what he told me to do and serve like he wants me to do, he's willing to take responsibility for all of his servants. Anyone serving him in the capacity that he wants them to serve in, he is willing to take ownership of our problems and our worries and our troubles and our struggles. That's the kind of God that we serve. He's a God who cares. He doesn't just care. He can do something about it. He not only declares it, but he demonstrates it. God is a God who has shown us that he cares. Amen. I was up at the hospital the other day, and before all these things got shut down, and St. David's Hospital, South Austin Hospital, has a motto that they use, and I fell in love with it. Amen. And they got a motto that says, called caring. Amen. Amen. That goes out to the patients. That lets everybody know that even when the family is not in the room, even when nobody is looking, even when the supervisors are not around, that the employees have decided and they are committed to caring. And you sneak up on them and you caught them caring. They say, you just going to catch us caring about folks. By surprise, I caught you. You got caught caring. You got caught being concerned. You got caught. Amen. Loving people and caring and serving people. You got caught. Wouldn't it be good for somebody to get caught caring? Well, that's the way it is with God. God is a God who cares. How do you know he cares? Well, the Bible tells us, amen, I believe it's Matthew 10:30, that the very he cares so much that the very hairs on our heads are numbered. He's got to be looking pretty close to know how many hairs on your head. That sounds like to me that's a God who cares to pay that close attention to everybody. God is looking. God is caring. God is concerned. God loves us so much that he shows that love. He is a caring God. He says, I'm a caretaker. Bring all of your problems. Bring all of your struggles. Bring them all to me. He is a God who cares. And I want you to put your cares on me because I care for you. Amen. Not some of them, all of them. I care for you. He careth for us. This is the kind of a God that we serve. Now, simply because of the fact that I have humbled myself under his will for my life as his servant, he says, I assume responsibility now for your cares. And when everybody else leaves, you need to know in the world, I care about you. And as long as you are committed to me, and long as you're one of my children, I want you to know I care. God says, I care. And he says that when nobody else cares, and we know that Jesus not only declares that he cares, he demonstrates that he cares because he hung on the cross for our sins. He not only told us, but he showed us. He shows us. And he says it and he shows us that he cares. I'm a God who cares. I put it in writing. I have declared it to you. Not only is there declaration, there is demonstration. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that he demonstrated that love. Jesus been to Austin. Jesus has been to this world. He's been to this earth, brother. He has been here. Amen. Jesus has already arrived. He came all the way down. The incarnation, the fact that God got in a body and came down and became a human being and let them nail his hands and spit in his face and whip him and crown him with thorns. He didn't say a word. The fact that he did that tells me, shows me without stutter, stammer, or equivocation that he cares. God is, I'm not confused about it. It's clear. It's a clarion call that he cares about the whole wide world. He makes it plain succinctly that I care. He came all the way down. When nobody else cares, he says, I care. Amen. You may be, amen, deserted by family members, but he cares. Jesus' family turned their back on him. Amen. Jesus was despised and rejected. He was a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. He was despised by his fellow clergy, and he was despised by his countrymen, and he was deserted by the scribes and the Pharisees. They all were against him. He demonstrated the fact that I love you. And although he was despised and although he was deserted by his family and by his frenemies, and he still decided that I'm going to do what God called me to do. Well, I don't want to hold you too long. The truth is that God cares. He says so. and he declared it, and he demonstrated it. God is a God who cares. In Matthew chapter 11, starting at verse 28, he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and have heavy laden, and I will give you, take my yoke upon you, learn of me, you shall find rest for your souls." And he says, "Take my yoke upon you, and you shall find rest for your souls." I'm reminded of the story that is told by many preachers about how there was this guy who was walking down the road, and a truck comes along, and as he was carrying his clothes on his back, walking down the road, someone stops and gives him a ride, and he gets up into the back of the truck, and the guy takes off and he rides, and the fact that needs to be recognized in the story is that the driver looked in his rearview mirror and he was still sitting back there carrying what he had on his back. Oftentimes we become Christians and we still carry the load. Jesus gave us a ride, and yet we still carrying the load on our backs. But instead of taking the load off his back and putting it in the bed of the truck, many of us are weighted down with problems and trials and tribulations because we decided that we were going to just keep the load. He says, "Cast it all on me." Why? Because I care about you. The disciples were in a storm one day. They thought Jesus didn't care. And that's the way life is. It becomes a storm. When they left on the Sea of Galilee, I no doubt it was smooth sailing. There was not a cloud in the sky, and everything looked fine. But when they got in the middle of the sea, the wind picked up and it began to blow. And before they knew anything, that ship was about, they were about to drown. And Jesus, and they went to Jesus and they said, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" Amen. Oftentimes we don't think God cares, but God does care. He is a caring God. Martha one day, even when the storms of life are raging, God cares. Martha one day, when Jesus was over to Martha, Mary and Martha's house, amen, Martha was busy cleaning up the house and she was busy getting things ready. And Mary, really, the Bible says, sat at his feet. Mary sat at his feet. And she didn't do any work. And Martha got mad and told Jesus, "Why don't you make her help me? Don't you care that she is not helping me? I'm trying to serve you. And there she is just sitting at your feet, hearing your words." And Jesus told her, "Martha, Martha, you are careful for many things, but Mary has chosen the better part." Oh, how much it is, how bad it is in life to where we get more concerned about worldly things than we are about the word. The words of Jesus coming out of our mouths, the words of Jesus sharing the words and spreading the word, and not the gossip, but the gospel, sharing it, telling people that we serve a caring God. And when the storms of life are raging, we know that we have a God who cares. And in the midst of this crisis, it's important to know that God cares. It's important that we remember that he's not a God that has power and won't use it. We know that God don't cause everything to happen. Some things happen things do happen for a reason. And I'll probably talk about that next week. But the truth is that God is a God who cares. And we need to know that in the midst of it all, I'm not responsible for what happens to me. I'm responsible for serving God. And once I serve God, it's good for me to know that he's a God who not only has all power, but he's a God who cares. He's a God who says, "I'm important." He's a God who is looking out for me. He's a God who's aware of my storm. He's a God who's aware of my problems, of my troubles, and of my struggles. This is the kind of God that we serve. And we thank God for his son, Jesus. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you right now for your word tells us it calms our spirit. If we're not careful, we'll get overwhelmed by the surroundings. We'll get overwhelmed by the circumstances and by the wind and by the rain. And and we'll forget that God cares. Thank you for caring about us. And we know, Lord, that although we are not perfect, you still care about us. You said, let us come boldly before the throne of grace in Hebrews 4:16, that we may obtain mercy and that we may find grace, grace to help in time of our greatest need. And Father, we stretch our hand to thee, asking, realizing no other help we know. And we're asking that you would meet our need through your mercy. When we are not acting like we ought to be acting and doing like we ought to do, we want your mercy, through your mercy, if you would, oh God, meet us where we need you. We thank you now for forgiveness of sin. We thank you for salvation because of your love and obedience and dying on the cross. We thank you for what you did. You loved us so much you gave your son. In the name of Jesus, amen. And praise the Lord. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Amen. God bless you.